Quay, hello. Welcome back to Spilling Labrador Tea Under Cedar Trees with Kate and Matt.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
It's rainy today.
Yes, yes. We've officially come into April where it's just gonna rain all the time.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it. Not that it hasn't rained the entire winter, but now we can say it's spring rain. Does that change it? That changes a little bit?
Maybe it makes us feel like a little bit better?
Well, it's brighter out, I guess.
Longer.
Longer. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wake time up changes. And time change. Hopefully we're done with time change as well. That would be great.
That'd be super awesome.
I'd love to get that hour back.
What? You're no longer a farmer?
I think I would prefer to be a farmer. Some days.
Because then the time change will like apply to you.
Yeah, because it would make sense. I'd be like, yeah, this actually is beneficial to me. Instead of it being like, cool, it was bright out when I woke up in the morning, but now it's dark.
Yeah.
Great. Love it.
Big time. Big time.
Not bitter.
About losing an hour.
Just time change.
Yeah. But yes, it is April now. So it means we've been doing the podcast for over a year. And that now we've been roommates for 3 years.
Yeah. April, as of April 1st, we have been living together for 3 years. There's only been, what, maybe 4 or 5 close calls for murder?
Yeah, approximately. Approximately. Yeah, mostly you murdering me.
Just in your sleep, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super. Again, closer and closer to a true crime podcast.
Starring me.
Because I'm missing.
I don't think it would work. Like, I would be doing the podcast to, like, avert people from thinking that I was the one that murdered you, even though I would be the first on the list.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Gotta get that alibi worked out.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't really use Jessica.
No.
No. Though I think she would notice.
I think so. Or she'd think I'm just on a very long trip.
Right? She'd be like, did she somewhere, like, was she going somewhere? I'd be like, yeah. That's what it was. take advantage of the fact that she's scattered when it comes to her schedules.
Yeah, remember she was just going everywhere?
She was already up north for, like, months, and then I have access to all of your phones.
Yeah.
So I can respond.
Yeah.
Can't send snaps, though, from up north.
No.
Just use old videos. I don't know.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Oh, no. Giving my plot away.
You are. Yeah, this is, like, a weird version of you. Yeah. How he, like, uses people's phones and
mm-hmm.
locations.
Is this why we're not supposed to give people our pins to our phones?
I think so.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, on a later note, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, no longer the plot to my death. we're going to talk about my trip up north.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, a handful of weeks since that's happened, but
yes, I left February 15th
mm-hmm.
and I returned, oh gosh, I think the 26th
yeah.
of February.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because that was when reading week was, and so I had to schedule that trip mm-hmm. between having a break in my semester, which is almost done.
Yay!
Yay.
So exciting.
Yes. It is. So I was in Nunavut for 9 days
mm-hmm.
and it was the best time. I was able to see some friends and see some family and just learn a lot of what goes on in Iqaluit. Again, from like definitely like a visitor's perspective and mm-hmm. definitely like at a condensed time frame.
Yes. You're like, I'll learn more the next time.
Yes, because I will be there next time for maybe 2 months, 3 months at a time
mm-hmm.
for this project for work. But I'm just so happy that I got to go, and definitely like big feelings of like, man, I wish I went sooner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I mean, things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Divine timing.
Divine timing. And, like, also, like, going when, like, you're more healed of a yeah. person. And yeah. you have more tools mm-hmm. available to navigate things and self-confidence.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but, like, this was technically a trip for work. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely going to have more opportunity in the future to go on a personal basis. Mm-hmm. So just doing some discovery for yourself. But at least this allowed you a little bit of time and space to be able to do some of that as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep, yep. And it was just outrageously beautiful. and, like, quiet.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah, like, just absolutely quiet.
As I was sending you videos of, like,
nonsense
of the drivers on Saturday honking, and I was like, cool, I'm gonna live at work now.
yep and just learning about, like, there's a housing crisis in Nunavut, particularly in Iqaluit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of, obviously, we know about, like, a lot of social issues through Nunavut.
Yeah.
However, like, I don't think it sheds enough light on the fact that, like, Inuit know what we want to do within mm-hmm. our territory mm-hmm. is really providing, like, the space and infrastructure and support to be able to implement, like, Inuit-owned, centered approaches to solving issues that resulted out of colonialism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You want to get into that a little bit more about what you had learned while you were up there from people, if, because I know that you had some conversations.
Yeah, I got to see a couple folks while I was up there, because it was still pretty, like, COVID protocol heavy, so mm-hmm. you weren't allowed to see as many folks as I would like to have seen, but obviously keeping our community safe is, like, number one priority. And I just learned how, like, everything's a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Like, culture, preservation of culture is a priority. Language is a priority. Housing's a priority. Water infrastructure. Housing infrastructure. Governance. All these things are all at such a high priority that it's hard to get something finished.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really discouraging. Because you're like, oh, man, like, all these things are so interconnected, and mm. I like, I promise if you work on one of them, like, you're actually working on three of them.
Yeah.
but it's so hard to do that when people are already spread so thin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody is burnt out, and rightfully so. Like, it's the same in the South. All of us are very tired.
Yeah.
yeah, some things were a little bit difficult to, like, see and, like, understand, especially when there's, like, the same issues that have been there for already 20 years.
Yeah.
And people and, like, researchers keep asking, like, well, what needs to be worked on? And they're mm-hmm. the same things I told you 20 years ago that needs to be worked on. So I think that would be frustrating for, like, young people and our old people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but, like, a lot of folks are optimistic because there's a new premier of Nunavut, and his name is JP, and he is younger. He's a youth. He's, like, in his early 30s-ish, mm-hmm. I think. And his big thing is getting Inuit in all senior positions of the GN, of the government of Nunavut.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it'll be actually more of our people making our decisions. Right. And more opportunity for our people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more push towards self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Something that's really cool is that our land claims agreement is taking people to court.
I'll see you in court.
Yeah. Which is super cool. Just advancing our rights more and, like, our self-determination more.
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's just cat hair. Slimming
my face. It's all good. And, yeah, because, like, we're supposed to have, like, all the Inuktitut education from mm-hmm. K-12 curriculum. Yeah. And, like, the GN was given, like, 20 years to do it. And, like, the GN asked for, like, an additional 20 years.
Yeah.
And our land claims agreement went, no.
No, thanks.
No, you already given, like, all this time, all mm-hmm. these resources. Yeah. Good try. So, see you in court.
Yeah.
And as well, then we're going to be taking the federal government to court to better define and redetermine what is Inuit sovereignty and Inuit self-determination.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty dope. And I'm really looking forward to, like, following how that rolls out. Because definitely, like, we are already used as examples to our friends in the South. And this could just be another learning opportunity and opportunity for, like, collaboration and learning from and learning to how we do it in Nunavut.
Yep. That's amazing. That's going to be super it's going to be really exciting to follow and, like, fingers crossed everything goes the way it should go. But, you know, the government's a fun place sometimes.
Great times.
Good times. The best of
that's
times.
That's why we're all invested
in getting jobs in the government.
Yeah, but I was wondering if you wanted to talk about maybe housing a little bit more, because we chatted about it a little bit when you came back, and, like, the comparison of what it's like up there to down here.
Right, yes. So we're almost on par with the housing crisis in Iqaluit, which is actually very scary and very, very sad. Yeah, so, like, one-bedroom apartments there can go for, like, $21 to $2,500. And there's a lot of housing that's reserved for folks coming from the South to work in different industries that are in Nunavut. And actually not enough housing for Inuit. So with the housing reserved, and then the price of housing, Inuit are getting priced out of our own territory.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of folks that are moving south because it's just cheaper. And then a lot of non-Inuit moving north because they can afford to.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing that's going on. Interesting social issue, social thing. And, like, the fact that, like, where we live is almost cheaper than, like, my home territory is, like, coconuts. And that there's just, like, not also, like, the economic development of Nunavut is changing for sure. However, there's still, I would say, gaps in economic availability for people, which I think is a very exciting opportunity for the work that we can do up there, as, like, IDEA, then, like, also as us, of, like, what can we provide for young people, for young Inuit in particular, in the forms of economies. But yeah, like, definitely seeing, like, there's the insanity. Like, you go through, like, a housing Facebook group and being, like, someone selling their house for, like, $800K in Nunavut. And you're like, that's how much our house literally is. We are renting.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Holy. That's great. I couldn't even imagine. And just the fact that, like, it's hard to imagine that, like, people can't even afford to live in their own communities, even though I know, like, that's very much a factor even down here, not necessarily because, like, they can't afford financially to live in their community, like, in their home communities necessarily, but because there isn't any housing available, because, like, transient people, like, who have transient jobs have come and, like, they're living up there part-time, so then, like, leasing and things like that are, bi-yearly, I guess, or, like, it's, like, 6 months at a time typically, or seasonally based, based on, like, everyone's jobs. So that goes into a topic we'll probably talk about later on, but it's just, like, such a basic need, and the fact that, like, it's not being met and it's forcing people to have to relocate, it's just a kind of an outrage. But
absolutely, you know. And then, like, you have all these folks, all these Inuit moving to the South. And then there's the question of, like, the urban Inuit population, if you're being properly served. Like, you only get properly served if you live in, like, certain provinces. And, like, I don't, like, how common is that knowledge in the north? Like, I don't mm-hmm. really know.
No, probably not.
Right? People will be like, I want to move to BC because it's so beautiful. I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. However.
Come join the five of us.
Yeah. Right? Which it's, like, really, really complicated. Like, there's a lot of layers to it. And yeah. obviously, like, a lot of emotions
mm-hmm.
in relation to it as well. Because, mm-hmm. like, you lose a way of life.
Yeah. And then there's also, like, climate.
Climate change, yeah.
is also causing displacement, and it's impacting communities as well up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's another thing that's forcing. So it's not necessarily the housing crisis. It's like a bunch of factors that I know is going into that. And it's just something that, like, it's not talked about very much mm-hmm. because, like, I learned a lot of, like, I've heard from you before, even you going up there, but then just getting the actual reality of it, especially, like, with the food prices. Yeah. You're sending me a snap of your $100 breakfast, and it's, like, the bare minimum in a breakfast, like,
yeah.
having, like, a banana and an egg and some toast, and, like, I can't remember what else you had, but,
yeah,
like, that's just, I don't know how the government isn't looking at that and being like, wow, I don't know what we're doing. Like, just...
yeah, exactly. And I was talking about that with a friend of... because I like to ask questions, right? And I think, like, the 9 days that I was there, mm-hmm. like, I was really just, like, quiet. And yeah. I asked some questions. And it was just, like... I almost felt like I was, like, interviewing. Like, I felt like yeah. I wanted to know everything, mm-hmm. right? But obviously from, like, a very respectful place. And just thinking of, like... Well, like, okay, then why isn't the government, like, capping rentals?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if we literally govern our own territories, yeah. our own communities,
mm-hmm.
we have one government across the board.
Yeah.
How is this not happening?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this happening and it's not done yet because everything's such a priority that, like, it's getting maybe, like, lost in the shuffle or... Mm-hmm. Something like that. I was just like, oh, my goodness, because this would be such an opportunity, again, to role model...
Mm-hmm.
how to govern
mm-hmm.
territory and like housing resources.
Yeah
Definitely had the feelings while I was there of like need to be here more
mm-hmm.
and then definitely thinking of policy things and government things. And it was really neat though to be in Iqaluit because those are my grandma's favorite places. And then I learned that, like, all of her favorite people in Iqaluit, for the most part, are named Elisapi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, aw.
Yeah. That's adorable.
It was really cute. I was very lucky to be able to get in touch with one of my relatives that, like, put a bunch of us in a group chat. And then I had, like, my little phone and, like, my little parka, my little mitts, and I'd, like, walk through Iqaluit being like, I'm looking for this person.
Yeah.
And I talked to one of my grandma's best friends on the phone and stuff. It was really precious.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously got to go through the museum, and that had, like, a lot of feelings in it because of, like, everything just felt very excited.
Yeah.
Had a lot of energy in there, which was really, really neat. I made some friends.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who works at the at the museum.
We covered that in our last...
Katie May.
Yeah. So again, cute. Another shout out to Kate May.
Yeah. And then, just there's more things I want to learn from being up there.
Mm-hmm.
From obviously, like, an Inuk perspective of there's, like, some things I really need to learn as mm-hmm. as a woman I have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely some things I want to learn of just, a researcher.
Yeah.
I definitely want to learn some things around trade routes. I think it'd be very, very fascinating.
Yeah.
As a geographer. Ew. A geologist?
Gynecologist. Straight? You're getting your master's in gynecology?
Or what was the other one? Or anthropology?
Yeah.
For the longest time, Madeline kept telling people I was getting my master's in geology.
And then Jessica was like, gynecology? And I was like, oh, yeah, so this is becoming a thing.
Or it's geography.
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 Either way, it sounds boring.
Oh, rude.
Yeah, another thing I was just thinking about, too, was, like, talking about food prices. But
mm-hmm.
I was like, it comes down to just, like, how Inuit are being, like, they're
economy system, basically, in mm-hmm. some sense. Because, like, obviously, traditionally, you didn't pay for housing back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, you built it.
Yep. You built it and then you moved with it.
Right? And then, basically, you got your food, like, you went and hunted, and that was, like, your day was mm-hmm. either creating clothing, creating items to trade, or, like, you were hunting. And I was, and just thinking, like, now...
Or singing and dancing.
Right? Just telling stories.
Yeah.
Through string. but now, like, it's obviously with colonization, climate change, mm-hmm. and all that freaking jazz, you've been forced to, one, pay for housing, which in turn means you have to get a job.
Yeah.
Which in turn means, like, you don't have the time to be able to go and hunt for your own food, which yep. means you have to purchase food, which yep. is unaffordable.
Yeah.
And it's just, you've gotten thrown into that, like the community's been thrown into that cycle where it's just, it's creating poverty and, like, in excess, and just, it's just, yeah, it's more complicated than it needs to be. Yes. or how it was, which I can understand is what's creating intergenerational trauma and the downfall of society.
Yes, it's like this weird, it's not this weird cycle, but it's a cycle.
Yeah.
Right? You get trapped in it.
Poverty cycle, basically.
100%. And like, and this is like the only thing you hear about Nunavut, is how you're trapped in this cycle.
Yeah.
Which is also like a problem too, mm-hmm. of like, but yes, all of these things happen in Nunavut that make you trapped in the cycle. And we hold on to our language,
yep.
right? And there's different, like, cultural revitalization things mm-hmm. going on. And because of colonization, like, we got to keep a lot of stuff because yep. we were definitely one of the last places to experience colonization. but it also feels like the social determinants and, like, the health determinants mm-hmm. definitely outweigh and change the narrative of what goes on up there mm-hmm. instead of, right? But that's real. Like, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm super thankful for, like, all the folks I got to meet up there. And then, like, seeing, like, a family tree that goes all the way back to, like, when we only had one name
mm-hmm.
in my Nunavik family, which was just, like, really, really incredible. And then, like, finding out I can get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And then piece together, like, where people are now.
Yeah.
And then hopefully learning more about Inuit spirituality.
Yeah.
Because there's some things that I really need to know for health.
Mm-hmm.
For spiritual health, I think. And then, yeah, at the end of the day, just being, like, of service for a community.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody needs to see the North. Like, that's just facts.
I mean, yeah, I don't think you'll fully understand both the beauty and the struggle unless you actually get to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can only get so much from a picture.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's nice. So what you do there is you get a cup of tea and you drive around. That's what you do. And it's the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited for us to be able to talk more about that once you get to go up there again and experiences that you get to have. Mm-hmm. We'll end up having more conversations and topics to have to cover.
Yeah.
Or would like to talk about.
Yeah.
Once you've done it and... also getting to hear more about how the project's going
mm-hmm.
and getting in who you get to meet.
Are you a youth living in the NWT,
oh my God.
The Yukon, or in Nunavut and interested in gender and policy work?
Do I've got a job for you. Did you know you're an ad?
Yes. Oh yes. God. Yes. And no, I'm excited to share more too, and like excited to have like future guests on from the territory mm. to talk about stuff and things.
We just need to get another mic.
We really do.
Instead of me trying to share a mic,
we need to have a traveling one.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I hope this episode was insightful for folks. Mm-hmm. And you reach out, ask me some questions. Ask us some questions. If you don't know, we'll point you into a direction.
Right? And I mean, if there's a specific topic that you would prefer we went more in depth on, or at least, I don't know, wanted our particular opinion on it, mm-hmm. More than open to doing that as well. Mm-hmm. Just because we're trying to keep these somewhat short and sweet.
Yes.
I don't know if we have.
We have.
Excellent.
Yes. Which means Teacher Madeline is going to close the episode.
I am. So I'm going to read a poem that I wrote. So don't judge me. I wrote this after a YPP, or for a YPP module. We were supposed to think about matriarchs that have had an influence on our lives and either do art or write a letter for to them. And I was inspired to write a poem just for matriarchs in general. Mm-hmm. So that is what it's about. All right, here we go. Thank you to the ones who came before, who fought and led us to be much more. Your love, resilience, strength, and care set us free, clearing the path so we can be all we can be. Where your voices continue to ring proud and true, your wisdom and guidance helps see us through. Every challenge and need for change, I can stand tall because you created the space so I can take my place.
That was lovely. Oh,
thanks.
That was great.
Where can people find us?
People can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, and there is us also on...
I can never remember. We should write it down. I don't know why we...
Pocket Podcast.
I was like, we need to make a list. you can also feel free to follow us on Instagram at Spilling Lab Tea Under Cedar Trees, I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, you can email us at the same username.
Yes. so we hope to catch you next time.
Absolutely.
We'll see you later.
See you later.
Namultas.